Happy New Year, everyone, and you're welcome to 2023. I'd like to introduce my girlfriend, Cassie Tai, as our guest and newest addition to EV Unbound family. She's the founder and CEO of LockBio, a digital health platform company dedicated to helping many enterprises launching a fully integrated brand telehealth service. Cathy has been recognized in the biotech space since the age of 16. Oh my God, they're just getting younger and younger. This is crazy. Awesome. When she first published paper in a peer-reviewed journal, and since then, she has founded two companies and recognized by Forbes in their annual 30 under 30 listing. Cathy's also the youngest founder to raise venture capitalists in biotech. Everyone, lady, fundraising is so hard. I had to do that myself, and believe me, it's tough. So I don't know how you do it in such a young age. And I thought this is your first company. It's actually your third company, right?
I'm on my second company.
Second company, yeah. Already. Okay, so what was the first company?
The first company is called Renomics. Okay. It's something I started when I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in college and up in Canada. And that company was about genomic services. We're making better drugs. We're doing better genetic testing for, you know, understanding like predisposition to diseases like cancers or, you know, like chronic illnesses. And that company, it was an incredible journey that I was a CEO of that from 18 to 21. And then now I'm in my second company.
Wait, how are you even starting the biotech? Like, what made you decide to start your first company and you were only 16?
So, yeah, I was 16 when I published my first paper.
Oh, yeah, the first paper.
Yeah, and then as soon as I could, like, legally sign contracts, that's when I started my first company at the age of 18. It was, honestly, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, you know, you don't really get taught that in school. Like, when you go to a career fair, you know, it's not like it's accountant, doctor, you know, maybe like lawyers or something. But
yeah,
no one's
but
like,
even 18, I would just think that you were about to go into college. If anything, you're like, oh my God, join sorority or my first like out of the house experience, dorm room. Like, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did that too. Well, not sororities. There's not a lot of Greek life in Canada.
Uh-huh.
But I made friends. I joined clubs. I did hackathons. I loved coding as well. And it was through coding and like the hackathon culture that I learned about startups and like you can actually start a company despite, you know, how old you were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that paired with my passion for research and biology and like biotechnology. I thought it would be really cool to actually start a company in biotech, not just like another app or another, you know, like, you know, enterprise software company. Because, you know, at the time I just wanted to combine my two passions, but I didn't know what that meant until I actually just went ahead and did it.
Oh, wow. And did you have anybody helping you when you were 18 to... Because like, I can't imagine being 18 and like you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just barely legal to sign a contract. Like who was the one now who helping you and going through the process?
Yeah. So I was really lucky in the sense that this was 2014 when I started college, and that around that time, there were a lot of resources like hackathons, you know, even just like mentors, people were paying it forward in the tech community. If you started a company, like you're very, very friendly and approachable to like young founders or, you know, want to be founders. And for me, I found like competitions and hackathons here and there, and I applied for it, and that's actually how I got my first check from the first investor.
Who was your first investor?
My first investor was IndieBio with SOS Ventures. They're a global VC fund, and at the time they have a IndieBio, which is like a biotech accelerator, sort of like Y Combinator, if you've heard of that, but for biotech specifically. So they give you like a lab space, they give you mentorship, they give you $100,000. I think now it's like $250,000, but I was part of their first class, and I just applied for it, and I actually got in. It was crazy. I don't think they knew how old I was when I applied. It was only when I showed up at the office in San Francisco, they're like, oh, she's 18.
Wow. Yeah, they must be so impressed with you.
I think, yeah, now looking back on it, I think, you know, we're one of the few companies that survived from the first batch. Like most companies just didn't survive. That's just the game of the VC world. But yeah, I think we were a good investment for them, I think.
Oh, wow. So how you pivot from that first company to your second company?
So after my first company, when I was 21, after running it for a while and making it profitable.
Now you finally can drink as a legal, drink yes. legal age.
Yeah, no, I had to like skip out on so many like happy hour, like networking yeah. things. But yeah, when I was 21, the company became profitable. We had clients that were like top pharma companies and like diagnostics, like genetic testing companies and such. So after that point, I decided to kind of venture out in the VC world, so the venture capital world. So I went to Silicon Valley and I was offered a position as a partner of a VC fund in Palo Alto.
Oh, wow.
So I was there for about a year and a half in total. And then I started my second company, LockBio.
Do you like to be in the VC world when you...
Did I? Yeah, I loved it. I think it was a really fascinating way to learn about new technologies mm-hmm. and meet like the smartest people working on things in those new technologies. I think for me at the time when I was 21, I was like, well, do I go back to school? Do I like, how do I go to the next step in my career?
Yeah.
And in school, I think in the fields of science and technology, you're kind of...
You went to school in Canada because you're Canadian, right?
So yeah, but I was going to go back. I was going to go to like Columbia University because okay. I was accepted there and I was just going to finish my degree at Columbia.
Okay.
So I have all these like student cards, but I don't have a degree. But
who needs it nowadays, be honest? Don't kill me, the parents, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought like in science and technology, because it's moving so fast, mm-hmm. what you're learning in school is really like in the textbooks. It was printed like at least a few years ago. In right. those few years, so much has happened. Mm-hmm. And that's the exponential curve of what how technology grows and that, you know, the function at which like the growth happens mm-hmm. for an explosive technology such as like AI and biotech yeah, and genomics exactly. and all those things. So I was very lucky in that I had an opportunity to be in VC and learn through that. And to be honest with you, like the current company that I started was a lot of, based on a lot of things I learned when I was a VC combined with my experience running my first company. So it's kind of compounded effects.
So what's the second company of LockBio? Yeah, what's LockBio. That about? Like, yeah.
To put it simply, it's like Shopify for drugs. It's
I love
like,
that idea.
Like, you know, right now, because of the pandemic, like COVID, so much of telehealth has been just easier to get access to. Mm-hmm. So before it used to be really hard to get a consultation with a doctor online and then get yeah. a prescription written and then get that product sent to you, right? Now with COVID, that process has become a lot more streamlined and a lot of great companies have been built during that time to develop infrastructure tools for doctors and pharmacies to be part of that solution or for consumer-based, like consumer-facing solutions to give consumers and patients more options and more access to digital healthcare. Mm-hmm. So with this new trend, what we've done is we've created a platform such that anyone, you can be an e-commerce brand, you can be an entrepreneur, you can be a pharmaceutical company like a manufacturer or pharmacy, you can use our platform to launch your own consumer-facing telehealth or online prescription service.
Okay.
So let's say...
It's kind of... I know there's a platform you can order your prescription. I mean, you can order the medication that you need, but do you need a doctor's prescription then? Or how that work?
Yeah. Okay. So everything that we offer on the platform requires a doctor's prescription and okay. a licensed pharmacy to dispense and ship the drug.
Okay.
So we're the software platform with payment processing tools and compliance built in, but we partner with doctors that are licensed in all 50 states and then licensed pharmacies that are also licensed in all 50 states. So what that means is if you're a patient in any of these states that's using our service, then you have licensed doctors who are, you know, seeing your intake form, seeing your patient information and history online, writing a prescription, digitally sending that to a pharmacy. The pharmacy sees it and sends the prescription to you. So we basically like democratized access to launching one of these services for any company that wants to do that. Sort of like what Shopify did for e-commerce in the 2000s.
Oh, wow. And when did you start this company?
I started this company technically in 2019, mm-hmm. in like mid-2019. However, we...
Personal timing in COVID. And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Really, really interesting timing. We were actually operating our own direct-to-consumer online pharmacy channels in Canada, US, Brazil, and they're all doing very, very well at the time. But then when we launch these, we realize, wow, it's really hard to launch a new service with all having to do all the work from scratch every single time. And then we realized, you know, other people were having the same trouble. So we use our expertise to make a platform. So anybody wanting to do this can use our platform to launch much faster and much cheaper.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then I didn't even know that so it's pretty much international then, right? Because Brazil, US, Canada.
Yeah, right now for this platform, we're operating in the US and Canada, okay. In all 50 states and all 10 provinces in Canada. We're soon going to be expanding globally to countries outside of North America.
I would love that idea. That would be awesome. And then what's your parent think of this? I mean, when you were growing up, dropping out of school and then wanted to pursue, join a VC and start your second company. I mean, clearly very successful doing that, but I have an Asian parents. I don't know if you have Asian parents. Yeah. Like, how you tell them, it's like, hey, mom, I think I'm going to drop off to college. I'm going to do this. I just can't imagine how you bring up this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was pretty rough because I've been like a student my whole life up until the point.
I'm sure you are.
Like, I did, you know, science. I was the president of math club, science club. I was on the varsity volleyball team. I went to Harvard and
Penn. By the way, girls, she's 5'10. She came in and then I'm looking at her and I was like, wow, you tall. And then she's like, yeah, I'm 5'10. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I was like very, like, I played by the book. I would try to be like the best student possible my whole life.
Aww.
And then one day, you know, I applied for this competition thinking that like if I get some VC money for my startup idea, it actually makes me a better student. For some reason, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, it's going to make me like make my resume look better. It'll be like great for my career. But then it led me to like making a very big decision when I received the offer of the Thiel Fellowship. Like, hey, do you want to drop out of school for this company?
Thiel Fellowship, is that Peter Thiel?
Yeah.
See, I didn't even know he has a fellowship. That's amazing. I mean, I know Y Combinator. So anybody now, you guys know there's another fellowship out there. But tell me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Thiel Fellowship is a lot smaller in terms of the number of people in it. And it's a very unique program. So I was 18 years old when I found out about it and then got accepted to it. Basically, at the time, it was, you know, 20 kids a year that were starting a company or starting some project that they would drop out of college for. And they would be given $100,000 in cash to do that and then see if it works out. There's been a lot of incredible like Thiel Fellows and entrepreneurs that came out of that program. And, you know, like nowadays it's still running and just the amount of Thiel Fellows are in it and just doing incredible things is amazing to see.
How many months were you in that program?
It's a 2-year program.
Wow. Well, look what you learned from that. Well, so how would you say to your parents? Are you the oldest? Are you the only child?
I am the oldest. I have a younger brother who's much younger than me. But I mean, I didn't tell my parents about the company until after I received the check from the investor. And then it was...
Because you don't know like what to tell them. They're going to be like, are you crazy?
Yeah. So I remember I was in school and the school newspaper did a whole story on it. And it was on the front page of like the school newspaper with my photo, like, you know, just on it being like UFT.
I'm so proud of you.
No, but then people found out, my parents found out through that after I got the check and it was on the school newspaper. My parents found out and they were like, you're going where? When? Like, you're not, you're not going to be in school. Cause I had to fly to California for that program.
Oh, wow.
When I was 18.
Does your parents in the science field like?
No. They're not. They're like in supply chain.
So how you got into bio and find science interesting? You know, like what influenced you to get into that?
So as a kid, I've always been like into philosophy. I've been into just thinking about the bigger picture and. I think it may because I was an only child for a very long time until my brother was born when I was 13.
What was your age gap? Was you your brother?
13 years.
Oh, wow. They were really busy. Didn't have time for a second until much later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, I was an only child and I was like, just had a lot of time to myself to think about things. And I'm very curious. I like philosophy. it kind of like led me to thinking about the meaning of life at a really young age. And I felt like science was a really good way to answer that.
Oh, wow.
Because that, you know, of all the project, of all the, sorry, all the subjects you learn in school, like science is kind of close to philosophy. And I think so.
But you know what? Okay, well, you tell me. Why do you think that science is really close to philosophy?
I think with philosophy, it's fundamentally questioning, like, what is real?
Yes.
And what is reality and what is the meaning of life? And science offers one very, very big and popular, you know, like, train of thought or just, like, way of thinking about how to solve that question by empiricism. So there was a whole wave of philosophy called empiricism where John Locke, George Berkeley, some of the famous philosophers were trying to answer this question, you know, what is the meaning of life? What is real with, like, scientific evidence?
Because I always need something to back me. I always need something, right? So I'm, like, the spirituality and the meaning of life, philosophy stuff, I'm interested too. But a lot of time, I still need some kind of data. I need some kind of, you know, evidence. So I'm glad that you feel the same way. And then that's how it was, like, how you explain that, why you think that way too. So,
yeah, that's actually why I named my current company Locke Bio. It's after the philosopher John Locke.
Makes sense. That's really cool. Okay. So that was a reason you got into science.
Yeah.
Got it. And then, so with Locke Bio, are you the CEO of the company right now currently?
Yes.
Okay. And then, so how's your day-to-day life is like?
It's incredibly busy right now, because we have, you know, merchants across the US and Canada that are growing really fast. And also one of the things that we're going through right now, as a world, you know, is COVID, right? And especially right now, there's a new variant coming out in the US and there's a massive COVID outbreak in China as well. And as a platform company for digital health, we want to be able to help as many people as possible. So we're looking for, you know, solutions every single day to help some of the problems, short term and long term, in different countries, and what we can do and how we can help people.
So will you even get free time to do anything? Because, you know, you started off, well, a lot of my guests wouldn't want to talk about their age because I understand why, because I'm the same way, but you're still young. So, like, but how you, like, deal with your social life, because you drop off to college. I'm like, I feel like I'm your mom or something. I was like, don't you have fun? Like, did you do anything? You know, like what do you do for fun and how you manage your schedule?
Yeah. Well, I still have fun. I think it's important to have a balance if you want to, you know, win at the long game.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, in LA or, you know, if I'm traveling, I have friends in different places I would see sometimes, like.
So you're currently living in LA now, right?
Yeah, I live in
LA. Okay, good. I'm so glad to have you here. Okay.
Yeah, like I go to the Magic Castle a lot. One of my favorite places in LA.
My friend is a magician there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, David Gilwick. So next time you want to go, let me know too, so I can introduce him to you. Anyway,
yeah, cool. We should go together sometime.
Yeah, so you like Magic Castle. Okay.
Yeah, so I make time for, like, hobbies and fun things, or opportunities to hang out with friends. Also travel a lot. So I try to enjoy, like, the food scene and whatnot there too.
So what's your hobby?
I like to play the piano.
Aww.
Actually just bought a new piano over the holidays that I'm, like, playing around with every single day right now.
I know. Isn't, like, all the Asian kids, you all have to play some kind of instrument? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, you can drop out of school, but you still have to play an instrument, either violin or piano or, I don't know, flute or something.
Yeah. I was one of those kids. I was playing since I was five, and I was, when I was 11, I passed the highest level of piano exams in, I think, Canada.
Oh, wow.
Like, Royal Conservatory of Music exams. But then I hated it so much because I was forced to play every single day.
Okay.
But then after, like, 10 years of not playing, like, recently, I'm like, wait, I actually miss it. I really miss just using it as a way to, like, express myself or, like, de-stress, right? And
it's funny you said that. I'm the same way, but I also bought a piano. And then, you know, because when you're little, your parents are always making you to learn something. And then I like it. But then what happened was your parents making you to practice every day. So I developed a special talent. I can play piano with my toe, because when my mom was cooking, then I was just using my toe to like pretend I'm playing piano. But now I miss it. You're right. It's a really good way to de-stress, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So that's the only, so piano, that's one thing. What else?
I recently started doing some magic tricks.
Oh, so that's the reason you like Magic Castle.
Well, like I only recently started doing it, so I wouldn't say I'm like a magician or anything, but it's fun. It's like, you know, you go to a party, you go to like dinner with friends, and you pull out a magic trick, and it's really fun to get everyone like surprised and excited.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, how's your parents feel about, well, obviously now they're so proud of you and they thought you made the right choice to drop out this college then. But when you first tell them, I can't imagine what was your reaction, how they feel about it?
Definitely not great. I think my dad had a more positive and logical outlook on it. He was like, well, you know, the point of college is to have a job at the end of college. If you already have a job, then, you know, it's fine.
He has a point right there.
Yeah, I was like, that's a very logical way of looking at it. I appreciate that. But the rest of my family was more traditional in the sense that, like, hey, you go to university to, like get a degree because that's the right thing to do, or you go to university to meet your future husband, like which I don't know how true it is.
I don't mean that. That's what I was looking at you like, especially for women nowadays, if you're like
the culture is not productive for that these days in college.
Yeah. So I feel bad for your little brother because you set a really high bar for him. So how are you ever gonna like top that? You're like, damn, my sister's so smart.
I actually, as an older sister, I try to think about it from his shoes too, and how I can be supportive with that kind of pressure. Because now, you know, he has a lot of pressure to even like surpass me or like, you know, do things really, really well for what he's good at. He's really good at hockey and violin and such, but there's just an incredible amount of pressure. But to be honest, he's just good at different things. Like, we're so different. Like, he's a lot more extroverted and funny and support, like emotionally intelligent and supportive to people at his age than I ever was at 13. Like, I was just in my own little bubble thinking about the meaning of life. Meanwhile, he's so supportive and funny and like social.
Did you tell him that? That's so cute.
I did. Yeah. Aww. I try to tell him every time, or I try as many times as I can when I visit.
Are you guys close?
Not as close as I would like, just because he's so young and we don't live in the same city. But whenever I'm back, I try to bring gifts. I try to like hang out with him, spend quality time.
So how often do you go back?
These days, maybe once every 2 months or so back to Toronto.
So what's California bring to you so far?
California?
Well, LA, because now you're pretty much in LA. What do you like about LA so far?
I mean,
we're so glad to have you, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, LA has amazing weather, obviously. And I'm a big fan of Korean barbecue.
Oh, okay.
So the Korean barbecue, I have to say, in LA is like incredible.
They don't have that in Toronto?
I mean, they do, but not like as good. I think the quality of just like the population of Korean people and also the size of K-Town in LA is just bigger than Toronto and a lot of other cities I've been to. So a lot of great things about LA, the beach, the people, like you get to see so many diverse but talented people that do so many different things, because in SF it's just all tech. But in LA, you know, there are people that do music, that do magic, that do like movies, and that's so incredibly special. And I love to just like be around that kind of creative energy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But sometimes it's so, I always feel like there's so many things going on that it's so distracting. Like, for me, it's like, because it seems so interesting to me, I want to do it all. But it just, I don't know how to plan that, you know? So, yeah. So how would you describe your week like?
My week?
Like if you, like, well, I don't even want to talk about a week. How you even like start your day? You know, if I'm always asked people that because I noticed there was a pattern of people what they do. And then I kind of want to like, whatever something is good, I always want to give that to other people to learn. So how's your daily habit like? Like, how's Kathy live her life every day?
So I wake up maybe at like 7 a.m. or so. Ideally, I like to wake up earlier, but like 7 is the most I can do. And then I would get some coffee. I actually like to start my day by playing some piano.
Really?
Because it gets me moving a little bit. And I think hearing music and hearing that sound makes me like more creative and just makes me more a little bit more energetic in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a morning person. And then I would...
Well, waking up 7, that's pretty early.
I do it not because I want to, but I have to because I have team on the East Coast it's like 10 a.m. already. It's 7 a.m. So like I can't...
That makes sense.
And then I would jump on some meetings. I try not to have like too many back-to-back meetings because then I can't get like real work done. So I try to, you know, have a few meetings in the morning and then some in the afternoon. And then in the evening, I like to cook a lot.
You cook also? You know how to cook? Aww.
Yeah, and then maybe play some piano or hang out with friends.
What would you make?
It depends on the day. I'm really good at making like Korean food or like stir fries or pastas.
Oh, wow.
Steak maybe.
What should one though?
It's all like self-taught.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That gave me hope. Maybe I should start looking at that.
Do you cook? Or?
No, not at all. I can't even make rice. I'm a terrible Asian.
It's okay. I mean, it's fun if you like it. If you don't like it, then, you know.
Yeah. Do you find it meditative? Because some people start cooking. Okay.
I actually love cooking. Like for some reason, it relaxes me. And...
Yeah. See, it stressed me out because I don't know how to cook. So then it makes me feel like, okay, what am I going to do next? Like I have to think, right? Then I get stressed out. So yeah. Okay. So you cook and then you have friends over for dinner and stuff?
Yeah. Or, you know, we go somewhere for dinner and, you know, hang out at the Magic Castle or something.
You said that earlier from the VC, you actually learned that some skill that you brought it to your current company. What was the skill that you learned that you have brought over to your current company right now? Like what would be, because I think everything you do, you learn something out of it, right? That's mm-hmm. part of the experience and the process help you to learn. So what did you learn from that? Because that was something different from your previous first company and now helping you with a second company. Like what was your experience so far that have carrying them to your second company?
Yeah, I mean, so much because my first company was just in biotech. We had like a wet lab. It was very science heavy. And my current company is completely a software company. We don't do any science, just nothing like pipette based. So that all those software knowledge and how to build a software business really came from my time as a venture capital investor, looking at other software businesses and just getting data points from, you know, great founders that we've invested in or that I've met through that experience mm-hmm. and understanding markets, how to build early stage companies successfully, how to sell in that space. So a lot of kind of high level knowledge that are industry agnostic, I kind of carried over just, you know, subconsciously to my current company.
Mm. And then so if you had to give advice to people who start a company or young people who have a great vision like you and they want to start their first company, what would be the advice you have for them?
That's a good question because everyone's so different. Everyone's mm-hmm. background and context for wanting to start a company is so different. I would just say do it for the right reasons. And if you're sure about it, don't think anymore, just do it. Because mm-hmm. the more you think about it, the inertia will get to you and you will like not do it. And if you're sure about it, you know, what's there to lose, right? Like it's better to test it out as early on as possible than wait on it because the opportunity might not always be there.
Yeah. And also then you have a bill to pay while you're little, like when you're young, yeah. You know, it's not like you have a child or payment and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's how I thought about it when I was 18. I'm like, well, if I drop out right now, one semester into college, it's better than having sunk cost of like 3 years in college and then giving up the degree at that time when I've already put in all that work mm-hmm. and paid all that tuition money.
Yeah. No, that was smart. So what would be your next goal or vision? Like what were you looking forward to? I know right now pretty much LockBio is your baby. It's a Korean company you are actively working on, but this is not going to be the final company for you for sure, right? So what would be your next goal you like to reach or vision that you have?
So I think LockBio is an incredible company doing, like, there's a massive market for what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a really great company, a really massive company. And for me, you know, the way I think about it is when I was younger, I never thought about, hey, like I dreamt of being a CEO of a company. I was more like just curious about things. So I want to make sure that curiosity stays alive inside of me as I build LockBio and also as I proceed with other, you know, things I do in my career. It's all about kind of solving the questions you had when you were a kid, or fulfilling that piece of who you were as a kid, like making sure she's happy, or she's her questions are being answered. So I want to make sure that is consistent in all the things that I do, not just right now, but my whole life, my whole career. So whatever that means, whether it's in the form of a company or in the form of like a nonprofit or in the form of, you know, a special project, whatever that takes, however that takes place, basically I want that to, it'll probably be in the science field, but, you know, I want that to fulfill the curiosity I had as a kid.
And then how you being a CEO and have formed two companies so successfully at such an early young age, how that bring you as a CEO, your leadership style then?
That's a good question. I wish I actually had more time to reflect on that. I think when I think about it now, I've learned so many lessons throughout my career, especially always
being... We all do, by the way. It doesn't matter what age you are. I think that's what life is, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's always been me managing people older than me.
So I wonder how you do that.
It's so interesting. But yeah, I think nowadays I definitely took all the lessons I've learned to apply it to my current team at LockBio. And I think we have a really good system going on where we're productive. Everyone is, feeling great inside the company. And we keep a very good culture inside the company, which I think is so important.
Your culture?
So everyone, I think one thing I want to make very clear is no matter what position you are in the company, if your ideas are good, like I will hear them, everyone will hear them, and we can act on them. So, it doesn't matter your age, your position, your background. If you have a good idea and you have the motivation to carry it out, I want to hear it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I really value within the company.
Oh, that's a good leadership, Kelly. That's good. Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Okay, so that would be your leadership style then. Mm-hmm. So what's your next thing that you look most forward to? Because I know now we enter 2023. You're my first guest in 2023.
Oh, exciting.
So I always want to know what this new year, like what's everybody's resolution or what they're looking forward to this year? What would you like to accomplish, or what's your big thing for the 2023?
For us right now, for LockBio, we want to expand to some new countries this year. Mm-hmm. And really just kind of grow as quickly as possible, because we had an incredible 2022 with our clients, and some of our clients in the US and Canada are growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure this model, works in other countries. We want to just grow as fast as possible, really, while solving some of the hardest problems that we're seeing in the global healthcare and drug supply chains right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, we're seeing some, COVID outbreaks in China and in the US. Yeah. And I feel the sense of responsibility because I was born in China. And
oh, where?
Near Beijing. It's like a province.
Maybe
called,
that's the reason you're so tall. Yeah. The northern side.
I'm from the north side. Yeah. The northeast. Yeah. Liaoning.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel some incredible responsibility to try to help, because, what's the point of working so hard and accomplishing all these things if I can't help the people that, I care about, or like the country I care about, or a massive problem that I have the ability to help with. So that's one thing I'm kind of trying to do right now, but also just one resolution I have for 2023 to do more of it.
Okay. What about personally? Like your personal goal, what were you wanted to establish in 2023?
A personal goal. That's a really good question.
Sorry, I'm asking all the questions because a lot of time when I ask my guests a question, those are the questions I ask myself. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of time I love interview amazing women like you is because we really learn from each other. And then a lot of the time we are a mirror for each other. So yeah, like even this conversation we just had, like you all inspire me. And then I figure that when we have this podcast, more women would be, hopefully when they listen to this podcast, it inspires them one way or another. So yeah. So that's why I asked all this question, because it's also the question that I ask myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, these are good questions, and I love the thesis of the podcast and what you're trying to do for women. I think for a personal goal for myself, I would like to have like more of a balance. I think in the last quarter especially, I have been so busy with traveling and just like have no time to breathe or sleep. So I think for this year, while I have really big goals for myself, I want to also have a balance where it's sustainable over the long game, and then also be able to, you know, do things that I'm curious about or things that make me feel happy, that fulfill that balance that I'm seeking for in my life, such as, you know, playing the piano or doing more magic tricks, and just, you know, reading on things about things I care about.
Do you learn any trick yet?
I did, yeah. I have like 3 or 4 that that I have, yeah.
Okay, we have to. We need to go have dinner sometime.
Yeah,
you can use me as a tester.
Some, but yeah, next time I see you, I'll bring some and I'll do it for you.
Is it hard to learn?
Some of them are pretty easy, and then some of them are hard. But you know, if you're just getting started, there are like a couple that are really fun to do and really impressive that are not hard to learn.
I feel like all of us have a little trialing us, right? And then one of the things that the study have shown to be a good entrepreneur, and you almost have to be childlike and always play. And that's what make you have the creation and creativity and so on. Yeah. So what would you tell the little you, like knowing what you know and experience what you already experienced at this age, if you had to go back and tell the 6-year-old Kathy, like what would you tell her then?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, don't take advice from people.
Don't take advice from people.
Yeah, because most people, I mean, like maybe there's 0.001% of people that are actually know what they're talking about, and maybe you should listen to them. But most people, like most of everyone, like they have no idea what they're doing. They're just as lost as a 6-year-old, to be honest. Everything that we see in this world, all the systems that we built, all the cultural, you know, things that we do, like just everything that we think is normal in our culture or in the systems and the worlds that we create, it's all created by humans.
Yeah.
And they don't know anymore. They have no more right, or they don't know more than you do to, you know, make something work, but they kind of just believed it and did it and convinced other people that's a good idea. And that's just how the world works.
Oh, I love that. I love what you said that. It's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is really arbitrary. When I realized that, I was like mind blown. I had to unlearn a lot of the things I had learned in school and just like growing up, especially in an Asian family household.
Yeah.
You know, you're taught to follow the rules. You have to, especially as a girl too, you want to be like perfect, and you have to gain the approval of your, you know, elder family members. But like that's the opposite of how to be a successful entrepreneur.
You're supposed to be married by certain time, and then you're supposed to have kids and I'm with you. I mean, this is the reason why I'm trying to redefine what really family is. You know, the old traditional idea of nuclear family, I don't think that really work nowadays. It doesn't have to be that way, right? So it might work back in the day where women would depend on the men to make a living and so on. But I just feel like the time have changed. So
Exactly.
So don't listen to advice.
Don't listen to advice.
Yeah, little Kathy, don't listen to anybody telling you.
I wish I had known that. But also at the same time, it's like, it's not practical. Like as a 6-year-old, you do have to like, you don't have the knowledge or wisdom to know how to pick and choose fact from fiction.
Yeah.
But if I could tell somebody something like about the reality of how things are, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Thank you. I really like that advice. I don't have a daughter, but if I have a daughter, I would definitely make sure I tell her that. Well, I have a son. I'm going to tell him the same thing.
So yeah. It applies for everybody, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. I know you're like super busy, but hey, you tried to balance your life this year. So this is podcast. It's fun. So
fun.
It's just getting to know each other, and then hopefully we can help and inspire other women that migrating the same process of what you're going to do before, or even just like a life exploration, I think this is always very helpful to other women. So everybody definitely follow Kathy. And Kathy, you're on social media, right? And Instagram. Yes. So I'm going to post your social media handle on our podcast. So girls, you need someone to inspire you, or if you need advice, reach out to Kathy. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Anytime. Okay.